Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking into a Resurrection Sunday sermon from 2025. It was given by Pastor Ken Cameron at Danville Alliance Church.
Right, and we're not just summarizing it, are we?
No, not at all. We want to really get into the core insights, the perspectives that Pastor Cameron shared. Try and unpack what makes it tick, you know?
Yeah, explore how these, well, timeless biblical truths are being presented and made relevant for people today.
Exactly. And Pastor Cameron, he actually kicked things off mentioning a little calendar hiccup they had with Palm Sunday.
Oh, right. I remember that bit.
Yeah, sort of a relatable moment, I thought. And it kind of sets the stage nicely for focusing on what Resurrection Sunday and the whole lead up is really about.
It's a good reminder that, you know, things aren't always perfect, even in church life. But the main message, that stays strong.
Mm-hmm. So our mission today, if you like, is to unpack Pastor Cameron's take on Jesus arriving in Jerusalem.
And how that connects to us,
yeah,
to our lives now.
Absolutely. He brings up some pretty surprising facts and memorable points looking at these familiar stories through a slightly different lens.
Okay, so where does he start? I think it was with that painting analogy.
Yes. The unfinished painting in Berlin, King Frederick, his generals, all there. But the king himself isn't finished because the artist, Mango, died.
Right, Mango. And the point he draws from that is powerful.
It really is. How we can get so wrapped up in the, let's call them the generals of our lives, the details, the day-to-day stuff.
That we miss the main figure, the King of Kings, Jesus.
Exactly. And the result, he suggests, is that our lives can feel incomplete. Like something vital is just missing.
That's a strong visual. It's so easy to do, isn't it? To get lost in the urgent things and maybe neglect the, well, the eternal things.
Yeah. Your life feels unfinished if Jesus isn't really at the center.
And he contrasts this with the common expectation people had back then. They wanted a political hero, right? A conqueror.
But Jesus came as a savior. Something much deeper, much more fundamental than just, you know, kicking out the Romans.
Which leads him straight to that really direct question for the listener, for you tuning in.
Mm-hmm. Have you welcomed this king into your life?
It stops you and makes you think, doesn't it? It's not just history, it's personal.
It really is. And to explore that idea of reception, how people react to Jesus, he looks at five different groups in Jerusalem that day. First up, the disciples.
Okay, the disciples. What's the take there?
Obedience, mostly. Even when they didn't fully grasp everything that was happening, you know, like in Matthew 21.
They just followed his instructions.
Yeah.
Even get in the donkey.
Yeah, even when it seemed as Pastor Cameron puts it, incredibly risky, almost like committing some kind of suicide given the political climate.
Wow. That highlights their trust, I guess.
Yeah.
Even with incomplete understanding.
It does. And he sort of gently suggests maybe we shouldn't be too quick to judge their later failings. You know, they were still there with him despite the confusion and fear.
That's a fair point. Okay, who's next? The crowds.
The crowds, yeah. And he describes them as expectant. Definitely, but also maybe a bit self-centered.
Self-centered. How so?
Well, drawing on John's gospel, he points to the context. Lazarus had just been raised. Bartimaeus healed. People had seen the power.
Ah, okay. So they're Hosanna,
which
means save us now. It was a cry for help, but...
But aimed at immediate earthly problems. They wanted freedom from Rome, a political messiah.
Right. They were focused on their circumstances, which is understandable, but they missed the better picture.
Exactly. Jesus' goal wasn't political power. It was to rule in people's hearts.
And Pastor Cameron connects this to the feeding of the 5,000, doesn't he?
He does. How the crowd wanted more signs, more miracles, basically setting conditions for their loyalty.
And when Jesus challenged that, many just walked away.
Yeah. It shows how easily faith can become about what's in it for me, if we're not careful.
Okay, so disciples, crowds, then the Pharisees.
And here the mood shifts dramatically. It's hostility. Pure hatred, really.
He quotes that line from John, right? See, this is getting us nowhere. The whole world has gone after him.
Yeah, you can feel their frustration, their fear of losing control. They'd already ordered his arrest earlier, remember?
Right, John 11. So his popular reception as a king just infuriated them.
Completely. It messed up their plans. They wanted him gone, but the crowds made it difficult right then.
It really highlights that clash, doesn't it? Between Jesus' true identity and the religious leaders clinging to their power.
Definitely. Okay, fourth group. The city itself. Jerusalem.
How does he frame that?
As resistant to the Savior walking its streets. He brings up Jesus weeping over the city.
Ah, yes. You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. So sad.
It is. Pastor Cameron says Jesus knew their hearts, the cruelty, the self-righteousness, the stubbornness, their prejudice against truth.
Their pride. He knew what they were like.
And he knew it was coming. The suffering, the cross at their hands. It's a really tragic picture of rejection.
A whole city blind to its moment of salvation.
Mm-hmm. And the final focus in this section is on Jesus himself.
What does he highlight about Jesus' actions?
Specifically going to the temple and looking around, just looking.
But not just a casual look, right? The original language suggests something more.
Exactly. More like an inspection. A sorrowful assessment by the true owner of the house, preparing for judgment, in a sense.
Okay.
And he ties this to the idea that God isn't just aware of us in church. He sees everything.
Our living rooms, kitchens, offices, every part of life.
Yeah. It makes God's presence feel very immediate, very personal, not just a Sunday thing.
Right. And then the contrast is drawn again, isn't it, between our own tendencies, maybe self-centered, hostile, resistant, like those groups.
And God's heart, which is always seeking, always offering forgiveness and restoration.
Bringing it back to that core question again.
Yeah. What kind of reception does Jesus have in your heart? It really holds up a mirror.
It does.
Okay.
Okay, so from the reactions, the sermon then moves into Jesus's suffering and sacrifice, right?
Yes, a significant shift. Yeah. He really emphasizes that this was a willing act. Jesus chose to lay down his life.
It wasn't something that just happened to him. He chose it.
Right. Enduring not just the cruelty of people, but also bearing God's wrath for our sin. That's a heavy concept.
Incredibly heavy. And he details the predictions, the betrayal, the condemnation by the religious leaders who were just blind to who he was.
Because of pride, yeah. And then being handed over to the Gentiles, the Romans, that's all in Matthew.
And the distinction between stoning and crucifixion is important here, isn't it?
Very. Pastor Cameron points out that while stoning was the Jewish method, crucifixion under the Romans carried this extra layer of shame for Jews.
Because of that Old Testament idea, referenced by Paul in Galatians, about being cursed if you hang on a tree.
Exactly. So it wasn't just physical agony. It was profound spiritual and cultural shame.
And the Jewish leaders, they couldn't actually impose the death penalty themselves under Roman law.
No, they needed the Romans to do it, which is how it ended up being crucifixion.
So Jesus, the sinless one, suffers among criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Cameron talks about that suffering having two aspects.
Yeah, the suffering from sinful people, the mocking, spitting, flogging, the crucifixion itself.
Horrific.
And then the suffering for sinful people bearing God's wrath against sin. He references 2 Corinthians 5.21 there.
God made him who had no sin to be sin for us.
So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's almost too much to comprehend, that exchange.
The depth of that suffering on the cross. The isolation.
And that cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Pastor Cameron really stresses the mystery there.
That moment of broken communion with the Father. God turning away from the sin he bore.
It just underscores the incredible cost of our forgiveness, doesn't it? The separation he endured so we wouldn't have to.
Profound. But it doesn't end there, thankfully.
No, absolutely not. This leads right into the core message, the hope of the resurrection.
The foundation of Christian faith. Pastor Cameron quotes Romans, right? Belief in the resurrection, confessing Jesus as Lord.
That leads to salvation. It's that simple and yet that profound.
And he acknowledges life is hard. We all face stuff. Money worries, health problems, you name it.
Yeah, he doesn't downplay the difficulties, but he emphasizes that the resurrection gives a hope that, well, that lasts. It goes beyond all that.
An eternal hope.
Mm.
And he uses Peter's writings to outline 5 specific truths that come from the resurrection, truths that help us face those difficulties.
Okay, let's touch on those. First one.
New birth into a living hope.
So not just wishful thinking, but a real transformation, a new life.
Exactly. A completely new start, an eternal life connected to Christ because he rose again.
Huh.
And he asks you, the listener, directly, have you experienced that?
That turning point. Okay, second truth.
A lasting inheritance.
Lasting how?
Imperishable, uncorrupted, unfading, kept safe in heaven. It's something that outlasts absolutely everything in this universe.
Wow. That gives perspective, doesn't it? Beyond current troubles. Third.
The assurance of salvation.
There's memes that's...
About the future.
Yeah. A deep confidence that your eternal destiny is secure in God's hands no matter what happens here and now. That's huge comfort.
It really is. Fourth truth.
Opportunities to grow, even through trials. So hardships aren't pointless.
Not at all. Peter says they refine our faith. Like fire refines gold, mm-hmm. making it more precious. It serves God's purpose and brings him glory in the end.
Seeing purpose even in the tough stuff. Okay. And the fifth one.
inexpressible and glorious joy.
Joy, even when things are hard.
Yes. It's a deep, profound joy that comes from knowing Christ and being saved, a joy that kind of transcends circumstances. It's linked to receiving the ultimate goal, the salvation of your soul.
A joy beyond words, he says.
Pretty much. It's the fruit of salvation.
So these five truths really anchor the hope we have because of the resurrection.
Definitely. They provide a solid foundation to stand on when life gets shaky.
Okay, so wrapping things up, the core of Pastor Cameron's message, as we've explored it, is really this call to see Jesus as the true king.
Not just a historical figure, but the rightful ruler of your heart, your life.
And we saw those varied reactions back then, obedience, self-interest, hostility, resistance.
Yeah, and reflecting on those can actually teach us a lot about our own potential responses to God today, can't they?
Absolutely. Then there was the incredible sacrifice, the suffering he endured willingly.
Even that separation from the Father, all for us.
But leading ultimately to the resurrection, that's the bedrock.
The ultimate message is hope, real hope. Enduring undiminished hope, because Jesus Christ is alive.
Which brings us right back to that fundamental personal question he posed at the start.
Have you welcomed this king?
What kind of reception does Jesus find in your heart right now?
The Lord is risen.
Risen indeed. And maybe something to think about as you go from here. How do those different reactions we talked about, obedience, self-interest, hostility, resistance, how might they be playing out even subtly in your own life, in your response to God?
And that idea of a lasting inheritance. What does that actually mean for you personally when you think about your own hopes, your dreams, and the challenges you're facing today?
Something to mull over.